GoDaddy.com. Use the code POD139, that's POD139, for 10% off GoDaddy hosting. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1096, June 22nd, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Of course, there was no podcast last night. I delivered, I think the last time I recorded a podcast, I was at Naugatuck, Connecticut. And so I delivered that load yesterday morning, meaning yesterday was Saturday morning at Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, and I guess it was about 9 o'clock, roughly, 9 o'clock, I don't know, it was either Eastern time or Central time when I got to Chambersburg, and that turned out to be a drop and hook. And so then after that, I drove to a truck stop that was just like 6 miles away, and promptly went to bed because I was kind of tired. Went to bed, and then I think I woke up around, 9:30, 10 o'clock p.m. And to my surprise, I discovered that that truck stop that used to be open 24 hours a day is apparently now closing on weekends. I guess their business is down, and so they're closing the thing down after a certain time. So they're closing it on the weekends, and I was hungry, so I drove on down to Greencastle, which is down, I think that's, I don't know, it's exit 5 down there on Interstate 81. Went down there to a TA truck stop, and there's a truck wash there. I was hoping to get this trailer that I picked up at Shippensburg washed out, but it turns out that the truck stop was not open on the weekend, or it wasn't open today on Sunday. So I had after I got there, it was it was like 1:30 in the morning, and so I went inside and got something to eat. Then I came back out, and I was obviously I wasn't sleepy, but I didn't have any energy. I was just blah. And so I played on a computer for a while, didn't do it diddly squat, because I was basically just didn't feel like it. And so about 10 o'clock this morning, went to bed, and then I ended up waking up, I guess, about 6:30 this evening. Woke up, and so I got up, and truck wash was still closed, so I went ahead and swept the trailer out. And then I went inside, got something to eat this evening, and then I came on over here to the place where I'm picking a load up at. Now, it's at Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, which is still very nearby. Shippensburg and Greencastle and Chambersburg are all basically in the same area. It's just kind of all along Interstate 81 here in the southern, south central part of Pennsylvania. So they had me back into a dock, and so I'm just kind of waiting for them to load the load. It's midnight Eastern time. It's my time, it's 11 o'clock. And so I'm just backed into the dock waiting for them to load the load, and once the load's loaded, then it's a short trip. It's only a 150-mile trip. Get the load over to Philadelphia. That's where the load delivers, and then my day is gonna pretty much be shot. I'll have to once the load's unloaded, then I'll have to find some kind of a truck stop somewhere where I can or someplace where I can go and hang out and sleep. You know, because now I've pretty much, with these past two loads that I've had, the one delivering in Brooklyn and then now this one, pretty much day has turned into night and night has turned into day, so I'm going to be, you know, sleeping a good chunk of Monday away after the load's unloaded and I find some place, you know, some truck stop somewhere around Philadelphia, which is probably going to be a little bit of a challenge. In any case, I didn't really want to go to Philadelphia, but didn't really have much choice. Shouldn't be as bad as Brooklyn. Philadelphia, I think, has some bad areas if you're wanting to drive a truck around in it, but it's not obviously as bad as Brooklyn is, and that's the load that they had, and she wanted me to take it because I was in the area, and so I ended up taking it, and of course I still had to sit, pretty much the whole weekend, but on the other hand, I'd have been sitting anyway, I think, because according to the dispatcher, the loads in this area were just really slow, so that's where I'm headed after this load's loaded, headed right over probably to Philadelphia just as quick as I can get there. I'm supposed to be there at 8 a.m. Eastern time Monday morning is when the delivery appointment is, so got my work cut out for me once I get away from here. I've got a couple of pieces of audio. One is a promo for channelerk.com, and then the other one is it's very interesting. It's an early daily source code. It's from October the 26th of 2004, and I think it's very interesting, because of course Adam Curry's kind of quit doing this daily source code, and of course over a period of time the focus of it really changed, and it's I think it's really interesting to listen to the part that I'm going to play of it, of this daily source code from 2004 is I'm going to skip forward in it, and then there's a part where he was still he was, I guess, he's still in the Netherlands, and they had the Curry Castle, and that was before they moved to London or to Guildford, and but his wife is on there and his daughter's on there, and it's interesting because he's sort of projecting an image, and looking back, I think this was part of the appeal. He was projecting this image of, here was a guy that basically just, he was, had it all. He kind of had it all, had enough money where he could retire, and had a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter, and, and he was, back in those days, of course, he was just heavily promoting podcasting. And of course, he was really instrumental in, giving podcasting a lot of publicity, generating lots of publicity. And over time, something happened, and it kind of turned into a business. And he sort of lost the zeal. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it's interesting because the image, of course, that he was projecting, that he had a happy family life and so on and so forth. The image that he was projecting was, you know, obviously it was, you know, later, now we know it kind of fell apart. And it, you know, so, you know, you never really know about people and, you know, the image that they present to the world. I think it's a good lesson, you know, because people will project a certain image. And he, you know, Adam, one of the appeals of Adam, you know, listening to those early, probably the first couple of years of the Daily Source Code, was the fact that he just talked about it, basically everything, completely transparent, talked about everything that he was involved in, or it seemed, at least it seemed that way. He was kind of talking, just kind of revealing every part of his life, and people were finding that fascinating, of course. But, you know, and then of course later he began to, I guess after he went into business, you know, with the pod show, you know, it, he kind of, obviously, you know, just kind of stopped talking about it as much. And it was long about then that he kind of quit promoting podcasting nearly as much either. So, but it's very interesting, you know. And the thing is, you know, as far as I guess you could say, podcasting is a good metaphor for life. But the thing is that sooner or later, we're all going to, you know, if we're podcasting now, we're all going to quit podcasting sooner or later. Something, you know, something happens, and, you know, now like in Adam's case, it seems that, I don't know, I'd say, you know, I'm just kind of guessing, but I'd say that he's going through some sort of midlife crisis, because he's in his foolish 40s at this point, and been there, done that. And, he's, you know, that happens to people. Sometimes they get into their 40s. Sometimes it might happen earlier, or it could happen a little later, but 40s, usually when men get into their 40s, sometimes they, you know, they'll just kind of end up, perhaps on a path that's sort of, you know, where they may self-implode. And they may end up doing some foolish things. And, of course, if they're married and they've got kids and what have you, they can end up, you know, blowing up in their face. And I think that's probably especially true when you have a family that is getting all this publicity. Of course, his wife is, you know, Dutch... super big Dutch celebrity, and you know, pop singer and what have you. And so she's, you know, she's basically at this point, I read one thing that said she's bigger than ever, quote unquote, at least in the, you know, in terms of being a Dutch celebrity, you know, with the tabloid magazines taking pictures of her and everything. And then of course Adam, you know, had a, you know, lot of publicity. And funny thing can happen to people. You know, you hear me talk about it. Somebody just gives you a compliment, you know, for your, you know, you got a new shirt on, or a pair, you know, new pair of shoes or anything. And they compliment you on that, and you... sort of, your ego gets a little boost out of it. That's bad, because your ego becomes instantly addicted, and then you need more and more and more to try to achieve the same effect. And it can be very detrimental. You know, sometimes people will start buying clothes like crazy, and they may not even wear them, or they might wear them once and then it goes in the closet and they're getting something new. And they'll have a whole closet full of clothes that they maybe have worn once, or in some cases they've never worn, because it becomes a compulsion, because they're trying to get that ego compliment. And they don't realize it, what they're doing. They may realize they're under compulsion to buy clothes, but they don't know why. And that's just an example, and so that's an everyday example. But just imagine that you're getting all kinds of, you know, publicity, like somebody that's a quote-unquote some sort of a celebrity. And they begin to, get an ego boost out of that. And, they're getting an extreme amount of it. And when you do that, if you just take one little compliment and get an ego boost out of it, I don't care how small it seems, it's the same as if it was a big one. One little ego boost out of a compliment, and you've got a conflict with your conscience. Because, you know, kind of getting that illicit ego boost out of a compliment, you're playing God in your own mind. You know, we do it with resentment, you know, sort of like striking people dead with your thoughts, but it can also be done with someone, you know, you sort of imbibing a compliment, sort of eating at the trough of compliments, people's compliments. And of course, someone that's a quote-unquote a celebrity, or a family that's a celebrity, where the mom is a celebrity and the dad's a celebrity, like Adam and Patricia, then it's really a prescription for disaster. If one or both of those people sort of end up eating at the trough of those compliments. And of course, as I say, it creates a huge conflict, and oftentimes that's why you look at the Hollywood stars, quote unquote, and they are often using drugs, various sorts of illegal drugs, legal and illegal, in order to try to make that conflict go away, try to numb out the pain, because that it becomes very painful. Because your conscience is trying to correct you. You know, when you do that, your conscience is going to come along and say, "Hey, you know, you're wrong," and of course, you begin to numb that out, try to numb it out with drugs, or food, or anything, because anything can be abused, and it just makes, you know, it may take the awareness away temporarily, but it makes the conflict bigger, and sooner or later, people tend to implode, because they can only do that for so long, and that's why you have Hollywood stars, sort of, the classic example would be Elvis Presley, but there's many other ones. That's why you have, you know, such bizarre behavior from them, and also why they drop dead so quickly. They drop dead like flies, because you can't, you know, they're really an extreme example of people believing in the compliments, and people are actually, the fans, quote unquote, are actually worshiping them as if they were gods. They're kind of creating their false gods, and then of course, what usually ends up happening, they'll build them up to a certain point, and then they'll start tearing them down, ridiculing them, because they made the god, they made the false god, and then they tear the false god down. And it's kind of like a roller coaster effect, where they build them up and then they tear them down, and then they might build them up again and tear them down again. You know, it's like kind of like the they create the false god and then they judge the false god. You know, it's a funny thing that people do in their minds. But, you know, the whole thing is extremely destructive. So that's, you know, that's why you've got, you know, personally, I'm very careful about not allowing myself to get any kind of ego charge when someone gives me a compliment, no matter what it's for. Gotta watch that, because as I say, your ego will become instantly addicted to that, and then it needs more and more and more, and it creates an instant conflict. You know, so if someone gives you a compliment, do the polite thing, say thank you, and go on about your life, and you don't get any illicit ego charge out of it. But if you do it just once, you're in trouble. And then, of course, the other part of that is that once you've done that, then someone can come along and they can manipulate you then, basically. And then if, you know, with the threat of withholding the compliment to get you to do what they want you to, they can withhold the compliment, or even more powerful, ridicule you. And then you really feel as if you've had the rug jerked from out from underneath your ego. You know, your ego is built on shifting sands, in other words. So anyway, let me go ahead and I'm going to play this daily source code. And as I say, I'm going to start playing, and then I'm going to skip it ahead. You know, I skipped ahead, you know, I listened through it a little bit, and I'm going to skip ahead, I think, about, you know, around 35, 36 minutes is where he's talking to his wife, and it's just very, very interesting to listen to and kind of compare, you know, the difference, because I listened to episode number 105 of No Agenda. When did I listen to that? Yesterday, or I think it was yesterday I listened to it, and I got to say, you know, it was like John Dvorak, Adam Curry and John Dvorak. It was almost like they were at each other's throats. They weren't enjoying their conversation. And it kind of begs the question, how much longer is No Agenda going to last? You know, because in the past. You know, it's kind of funny to listen to because they're kind of ridiculing each other a little bit. But it seems at this point that the playfulness is gone from their, you know, this conversational relationship that they have. The playfulness kind of almost seems gone, and they weren't enjoying it. They weren't enjoying their conversation. And it was kind of painful to listen to. So, as I say, it begs the question, how long is No Agenda going to continue? So anyway, let's go ahead and listen to this daily source code. And as I say, I'm just gonna play a little bit of it, and then I'm gonna just kind of skip forward and play a little bit of the conversation that he had between his wife Patricia and their daughter. So here we go.
I listen to the daily source code every day.
Podcasting with Adam Curry.
The power of your intellect.
Hey there. Good afternoon, everybody. I mean, bye-bye. It's the source code for Tuesday, October 26, 2004. I'm Adam Curry, coming to you from Flanders, Belgium. It's just a little past noon here. And we're podcasting from Curry Castle.
The power of your intellect.
So I've been working a little bit on my audio levels today. Of course, the show that went out yesterday, although it recorded without a hitch, was...
Okay, now we're going to skip ahead a little bit. And what I've done, I've isolated the section where he is talking to Patricia. And she's kind of telling a story. And... I think this goes on for about 21 minutes now. I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing or not, but I'll play enough of it so that you get a little flavor of how he was able to make him come across, you know, make his family, because his, you know, Patricia's talking and the daughter's talking, and how he was able to come across. And it was very interesting. It's very interesting, and especially now, to go back and listen to it. This was from October of 2004, so 5, 6, 7, 8. We're in 2009 at this point, so this was over 4 years ago. And of course, now he's stopped the Daily Source Code. Essentially, he may start it back up, but you know, I have my doubts about that. And then also he has, filed for divorce, or she's filed for divorce, or they're getting a divorce. Either way, they're getting a divorce. And he did say that, I heard him say that to John Dvorak, that his in-laws, his former in-laws, are mad at him. And, of course, you know, there's been rumors on the internet, you know, as far as those Dutch the sort of the Dutch equivalent of the National Enquirer, or those tabloids that follow the celebrities around, that it was basically his fault. You know, he's had an affair with some Dutch actress or something. But it's interesting, you know, listening to how they talk, and it sounds like they have such an open marriage. Regardless of the open marriage, that they just really love each other, and you know, there's a certain image that gets projected, and apparently, we now know that it just all fell apart, and it's really unfortunate. And I think the lesson is that at the time that it's going on, we may think that, you know, that everything's happy in our lives, and that it's just gonna, you know, everything's hunky-dory. But at the same time, we've got some sort of a problem. We basically, our house is on fire, and we're not aware of it, or we don't want to be aware of it, or we're using some sort of drugs or something else, abusing something else in order to not be aware of it, and in many cases it can tear families apart. Sooner or later, the forces are in play to completely rip apart families and rip people's lives apart. And yet, at the time, we don't want to be aware of it. We have different denial mechanisms in place that sort of stop us from realizing that we've got a major problem. And so anyway, let's go ahead and listen to the part where Adam is talking to Patricia and his daughter. So here we go with that.
Ja, maar die is toch alleen maar aan het rondlopen. Ja, maar...
Hij gaat nu foto's maken.
Ja.
Waarom kom ik nog even?
Ja, I'm ready for you right now. I'm taping as we speak.
Oh.
You want to come into my studio?
I'm coming to your studio.
Yeah? Everyone's really excited now.
Oh, is that so?
They're listening. Yeah, they're waiting because, you know, they're waiting to hear your David Bowie story.
Als hij zo komt, dan...
So who... This guy... This guy is appraising the house for... Because the other people need to get a mortgage?
Yeah. What
the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Come into the Source Code studio.
Yeah.
This is my... Oh, come on, Jess. All right, everybody. Everybody.
Yeah.
I have to sit with you here because I got...
Do I have to sit here?
I'll tell you what. I'll put the mic in the middle so... And it's out. So I can listen on the headphones. No, you can sit there. No, sit over there. Yeah, hold on. Here we go. And then let me put the headphones on so I can listen. Okay, let me...
Now you'll have to interview me.
Yes.
You know that.
Okay. Hi. Hi there. Hey, you're really cute.
I thought you already
knew. Are you a lesbian?
God.
Okay, so...
I'm every woman, you know that.
Okay, all right. So Patricia's my wife. I already explained that you're just a little bit older than I am, so you have some better stories from early days.
But I think you are older, if they see us together.
Yeah, of course.
You explained that.
Yes, yeah, because I look like shit, and you look young and beautiful. Right,
okay. I'm firm.
Very firm. And I'm saggy. My ass
exactly.
is saggy.
Yeah, but you sit in a chair with your laptop on your lap.
But do you love me?
Yeah, I do love you.
Okay. So when did you, let me just jump right into the conversation. When did you meet David Bowie? And what year, do you remember what year it was?
I think it was round about 1969.
69? I was five.
I know.
And you were, so you were like 19, 20 years old?
I was 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And in these days you had those song contest festivals you had to go to.
Well, if, what do you mean you had to go
well,
to?
Well, if you want to be famous and if
you're
you want
to... You're really cute when you're telling the story.
If you want to be famous or do you want to, you know, a real career, you had to do these things.
So it was like,
was
the
nothing else.
Like the Eurovision Song Contest? Like
yeah,
that? Like
it's
that
a kind sort of, yeah. But then it was held in lovely places.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you
when they
had
still had
go.
Budget.
Yes, yes, they had budget, beautiful big orchestras, like 40-piece orchestra. And
oh, okay. So it was like...
So it was lovely, you know, you never knew what happened. And so, you know, it was the best thing to do.
Okay.
So I went to Malta.
Malta.
Malta, of
the lovely place. Island of Malta.
Malta. Never been there. It was very beautiful, very sort of... Arabian? Yeah, Arabian kind
Arabic?
Of, yeah, sort of that. And
a lot of English people go there on vacation.
Yeah, lots of English people. So probably that's why we all had to go there.
Yeah.
So you had Germany, Austria,
you were representing the Netherlands.
And I was representing the Netherlands. And there he was. It was David Jones representing.
Well, he wasn't even David Bowie.
No, no,
well,
no.
Well, that doesn't count then. It wasn't
no,
David Bowie.
No, it was David Jones.
David Jones.
Yeah. And he was representing
Mars.
England.
Neptune.
Yeah, sort of. He was on Mars all day. But he was for England, of course. Yeah. And he had these, what is this guy's name who did the Beatles?
George Martin.
Yes, he had George Martin.
He was producing him?
He was his, and his musical director.
Uh-huh.
Everybody had his own musical
director.
Oh,
okay, because it was live.
It was way chicer than they're doing now.
This is the day when it was really cool.
Yeah,
and
it was
cool. 100 million people watching.
It was beautiful.
Was it on TV?
Yeah. It was all over Europe on TV. Mm-hmm. It was very important.
Were you already selling albums at this point?
Yes, yes. Because what they did was every country sent their biggest talent.
With the biggest
or a talent that they think, you know, it's gonna that's could be a very big star.
Okay.
In
but you were already a star.
I Holland. Was in Holland already starting my career and selling records. So, okay, they sent me to Malta and.
Excuse me, would you like a drink?
No, I have coffee.
Okay.
So when I met David, was there were no many very hip people there, and I was very hip.
Right, it was all sicko shit. It was
James
Last.
No, well, most of them were a little bit
James
sicko.
But this was the end of the 60s, so it was like, were you a hippie at this
crooners
point?
And
were
I don't know.
Were you a hippie?
What?
Were you smoking dope?
Probably, you know, coming from Holland.
You don't remember,
sure.
Though, right? You don't remember.
I don't remember. I never remember. If you ask me, I never remember. But, so David probably picked me out because he thought, well, that... chick looks cool,
look
so I hang out with her.
Blimey, look at them hooters.
So he was telling me about his new girlfriend that he had. She was an actress, and she looked a lot like Barbara Streisand.
Wait, Angie? Was that Angie?
That was Angie.
Oh, no.
She looks a lot like Barbara Streisand.
She doesn't look
Streisand.
Like Barbara Streisand. She looks like Barbara Streisand got run over by
nose.
A truck.
She has a big nose.
She
but in these days, it looked like a sort of a young Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
And she was a great actress, he said.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He thought so.
The Academy
probably.
Award winning
yeah,
actress.
But he was probably in love.
So he was in love.
He was
did
in
you
love.
Have a boyfriend at this time?
I guess I had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. What's, but did, in
he,
these days, he'd
did
a hippie.
Did he look like Barbara Streisand?
No, yeah. Down there. But in these days, when you were a hippie, it didn't matter. If you just met nice people, you hang
the
out
days
with
of free
them.
Love.
And there was no AIDS, you know, you could make love or... it was great.
Oh,
I told you so.
I got robbed.
And I know you hated when I tell you that.
Yeah, we had to wear, like, you know, truck tires.
Yeah, I know. But in these days, no, you could make love, and the only thing you had to do is maybe protect yourself a little bit. But you know, for getting pregnant, actually,
for gangbang.
Nobody was thinking about anything. So everybody was horny as hell.
Mm-hmm. Rock on.
And so and we hung out a little bit, and we, you know, and we had fun. But although I didn't think he was sexy at all. He didn't look sexy at all. He was very strange.
Skinny,
His guitar was hanging around his neck the whole day.
Really?
And he was playing it, and until everybody said, "Oh, can you please tell that guy to stop?"
What was he playing? What was he playing?
All sort of things, and he was always saying. So we went to the. I remember we went for a walk on the beach, and. Mm-hmm. He was singing songs for me because he was making an impression.
He was trying to make an impression.
And he was quite boring. And
what song was he playing?
He was playing, I remember he said, "Do you like this song? Listen, I'm going to play it." And I thought I heard it already, but okay. And he played Ground Control to Major Tom. And I thought, oh man, and it never ended. And
that was Space Oddity.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a record
and
then.
He said to me, "Don't you think I sound like John Lennon?"
Oh, really?
Yeah, he thought he sounded like John Lennon.
That's what
he was
wanted.
His
he wanted
big
to sound.
Idol. Yeah, he wanted to sound like it.
But that was Space Oddity. He hadn't released it.
For him, he wasn't a star yet. But he was actually, I think they sent him because they thought there is something going on, but we don't know what.
Two different color eyes.
So, and he said, "I just got a record deal, and they're probably going to record this song." And I thought, man, I hate it already. It sounded horrible.
It was a big hit.
And you had to see him because he was not wearing swimming trunks or anything.
No.
He was wearing diapers.
Wait
he
a
had
minute.
Sort of a, you know, he wanted to be different. And that's, you know, he still
he
does.
He was wearing diapers?
He was so different from the rest. He was wearing a sort of, you know what you see when Jesus... you see in the Bible,
like loincloth.
Loincloth.
Yeah, really. So, but with
so
the top
sort of
on,
it
like
looked like a diaper,
like a Roman thing, or just
no, like nothing on. He was very skinny, very pale.
So like he had a turd in his.
He lighted up. He just lighted up. You know, he was so white.
and he was singing
and
Ground Control.
Ground Control the whole day, and I thought, man, shut the fuck up. So, and he tried, and of course he tried to kiss me and all these things.
Wait, can I ask you, stop. Did he have the orange hair? Was that the Ziggy hair?
No, just blonde hair, nothing.
Not spiky.
He was not attractive at all.
And he had the two different color eyes, right? One brown and one blue?
Yeah.
Or green and one blue?
No, he always had.
Right. And, yeah, and his teeth were like horrible. Though,
horrible. Right? Horrible. One, ew. Two, three. One,
You were even considering kissing that mouth?
Well, I kissed a little, but I thought, geez, no.
And you could feel like the jagged edges against your tongue.
Yeah,
like,
I guess so. And then I remember his girlfriend. He said, "Yeah, my American girlfriend is coming over, and she's very nice, and we could get together.
Yeah,
we can get together, and maybe have a trio or anything.
Oh, maybe, sure, why not? Sure.
Yeah, and I thought, geez, and I saw her come, and I thought, oh, no.
Barbara Streisand.
So they were trying, but nothing happened. So, but years later...
Wait a minute.
When I was really, really famous.
Wait, you skipped over.
Well, that was that. It was the song festival, and I didn't win.
Nothing happened. So nothing
chick
happened.
No, he was not. I didn't.
You kissed
he
his
crooked
face.
And he was trying it the whole time that I was there.
Yeah, he was horny.
I was way too pretty for him.
Yeah, And he wasn't
I
a star,
thought.
And he had a shitty song
no,
about
no, no,
Ground
no, he
Control
was not a
to
star.
Major Tom.
So what happened was after that, it was really a hit. You know that. It became a hit.
Space
I thought,
geez,
I thought, that's that song.
It's a fucking
that's
song.
That's a fucking song that I heard the whole day. So a couple of years later, after he had a couple of hits, there was the...
Can I just ask you a question? Yeah. When he had his first hit, do you think, shit, I should have done him then?
No, not at all. But then he had, after a while, he had that red hair, and Ziggy Stardust came out and everything.
Yeah.
And I had to do a big event that was every year, that's called Grand Gala du Disque.
Grand Gala du Disque.
Yeah, it's a great gala. Yes. No, it's in Amsterdam.
Oh, really?
And it was very famous. Barry White was there.
Everybody.
Dobie Gray, The 3 Degrees.
So this was like 74, 75 maybe?
Yeah, I think so. No, 74. 74. And the Grand Gala du Disque. And they asked me and my sister, because we were also doing a lot of backing vocals, because we were the best backing vocals you can get,
to back up
some acts from America.
Yeah, you guys were cute.
And we were very cute. Hot. And so we did. There was a big orchestra there, and Barry White. We had to do the backing vocals for Barry White.
Okay. Well, I think that's enough of that. That gives you a flavor. I thought the daughter was in there somewhere, but maybe not. But anyway, that that gives you a flavor of what it was like. You know, and that, I don't know. Back when I found it, you know, discovered podcasting, and, you know, of course, Adam Curry was the first one that I found, and I understood what it was. I was listening, and he was on a plane. You know, this would have been in December of 04. He was on a plane, and that was the very first podcast that I ever listened to. And then, of course, after that, I bought an MP3 player, and I bought my own way to record podcasts. You know, that I had that little Sony recorder, and that's how, you know, I started doing it. And but, you know, every day for a long time, you know, every day I would try to download a new episode of the Daily Source Code. You know, I downloaded all of the prior ones. I wish I'd have saved them now, because you think, oh, you can re-download it if you want it. But after a few years and things change around, that's not always the case anymore. You know, like all of my old. I've got every podcast I've ever recorded. I've saved all of them, but they're not available anymore on servers, you know, because I've had to change servers a few times over the years, and, you know, they're just, most of them aren't available anymore after, you know, I think when, after I got on the Podshow server, all of those are there, and I anticipate those will stay there, and, you know, unless until something happens to what is now Mevio, if they ever go away, then those are going to be gone, you know, at least from the internet, unless somebody's got them somewhere. You know, they may be cached on a server somewhere, but you know, the things do go away. But I've got all of my old files. You know, if I wanted to put them on a server someplace, I could. It would be a real, job putting them on a server and then, you know, making links to them where they would be available, and kind of cataloging them, because that's a lot of files. You know, I'm up to, what is this, 1096. So there's a lot of files out there that. You know, that would be a lot of files to have to try to recreate, you know, or to re-put on a server somewhere and then create links to. But it could be done, but it would be a nightmare. So, but I wish I would have saved, in any case, I wish I would have saved all those early Adam Curry shows that I, you know, from back then, because it was, you know, I listen to that now, and it kind of, you know, it's interesting. You can listen to something from a few years ago, and it kind of takes you back, you know, to the way you know, because it was kind of exciting back in those days. Listen, you know, I was really excited because I was, I discovered podcasting, and I found out that I could actually get stuff that I was that I wanted. I could actually, search for stuff and find audio and subscribe to it and listen to it, and I wasn't held prisoner anymore to radio or even XM radio. Gave me control over the media that I wanted. I was able to kind of pick and choose what I wanted, and of course, you end up learning a lot of things, depending on what, you know, like if you're interested in tech or you're interested in this or you're interested in that, it enables you to learn so much. And, you know, kind of in the case of Adam Curry, part of it was the excitement about podcasting, and then the other part was, you know, the other appeal that he had back then was that he was just, you know, his daily life, and but he did sort of present this image that, you know, of this guy that had everything and, you know, just had a wonderful life and was happy. And we all know now that that kind of fell apart, or it seems to have fallen apart. So, but as I say, it is illustrative of the fact that, you know, we can be living our lives today, and there's some little problem that, or, you know, we think it might be a little problem, it may be a huge problem, but we're ignoring it. For the moment, we kind of ignore whatever the problem is, but that problem in a few years, or, you know, who knows how long, but, you know, it's kind of like having, you know, being in, you know, your house is on fire and you're kind of covering your head up to, you know, like a little kid will cover their head up to, in a house fire, little children are known to kind of cover their head up to make the fire go away, you know, and then, you know, rather than recognize the danger and get out, they just kind of pull the covers up over their head, kind of like people sticking their head down in the sand, you know, the proverbial ostrich sticking its head in the sand. And so things can, if we ignore them in our lives, they can eventually cause, you know, they can eventually be our downfall. They can be the cause of our downfall. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But in any case, I thought that was interesting, you know. And as I say, I wish I would have saved all of those, but I just didn't do it. And surely somebody did somewhere. And so I'm gonna try digging around on the internet and see if I can find. I've done it before, but I'll try it again. See if I can find some. Maybe somebody's got some of those early shows and has, you know, put a link to those somewhere, and, you know, where they're downloadable. Because Adam Curry deleted a bunch of that stuff at one point. It looked like the somebody in the government in the EU was, you know, because he'd been playing a bunch of RIAA music. Somebody was going to come after him, and so he got wind of that, and he deleted all that stuff before they could you know, throw him, you know, any kind of legal challenge. And you know, kind of headed it off at the pass, so all that early stuff was gone. So, you know, there it was. You know, you could have downloaded it before that, but after that, it's gone. And but as I say, it probably exists somewhere. Somebody's got it, and it would be nice to be able to go back and revisit it and listen again. I, you know, now that I've listened to the little bit that I've played here, I actually remember listening to that episode and listening to her talking about her David Bowie story and so on and so forth. And again, you know, that kind of gave the impression that, oh, these people have such an open marriage, but they're very happy and they love each other and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's an interesting image that was projected. So, but, you know, and then, but it's interesting. It's just kind of the whole. One of the appeals of podcasting has always been for me that, you know, most of the stuff I'm listening to, people are real. They're real people living their lives, you know, and they may be doing podcasting about tech or other things, but they're real people living their lives, going about their lives, and it's fascinating to kind of look in on other people and see how they live their lives. And, you know, their lives, that's one of the appeals of Twitter, is that you can look at that, and people's lives can be very, very different from your own, and they may even seem exotically different, but at the same time, they're very much the same. They're different and yet the same at the same time. I think that, you know, people probably, I know I've had, you know, lots of people think that I live an interesting life, but, you know, driving a truck and what have you, and kind of going all around, all over the country, and I could see where, you know, somebody's stuck at the same, you know, same job all the time, they kind of, you know, and maybe have had a fantasy about driving a truck or traveling or whatever, and then kind of, you know, it would be very different. You know, to me, it seems pretty mundane, you know, the same old stuff day after day. But, you know, and I can listen to somebody else, and they, from their point of view, they think, oh man, my, you know, I'm just got, you know, this is just mundane stuff, but yet to me, it is very different. But, so, in any case, the whole social media thing that's happened on the internet, you know, kind of started with blogging and then moved into podcasting, and now it's sort of evolved into the Twitter phenomena, you know, and kind of continues with Facebook, and of course the social thing is continuing, social media revolution is kind of continuing, and, you know, and the blogging and the podcasting and all of it continues, and it's basically just people communicating. You know, you get to the point where people are just communicating with each other. And really what enabled it was broadband internet got to the point where it was broad enough, you know, back in sometime in 2004, broadband internet had spread enough to the point where it became possible to, you know, all of these elements kind of came, you know, the MP3 files had already existed for a long time, the recording, the ability to record sound with computers had existed for a long time, but it got to a critical mass where all of a sudden it became possible for the average person to basically make, you know, do podcasting, and that's kind of why it happened. It was going to happen sooner or later, and it kind of hit the mass, critical mass, in October of 2004. So, anyway, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. By the way, the podcast before the last one, I gave those codes, and those were wrong. You know, those GoDaddy codes? So, what I'm going to do now, you're hearing, you know, what I'm doing. I'm, like I was had before for a while, you know, I've got these new GoDaddy codes, and so what I'm going to do, you're going to hear a little blurb at the very beginning of the podcast, and of course at the beginning of this one it's going to be the same as the blurb that was at the beginning of 1095 about the GoDaddy hosting code, but over time I'm going to start rotating those, you know, rotating other ones in there, you know, like the, you know, for the 10% off and so on and so forth. And then at some point I may be able to talk to get some, you know, easier to remember codes. I'm hoping I'm able to do that in time. Get some easier to remember ones, because these are not, you know, obviously they're not very easy to remember. But you know, the podcast before last one, I gave out the wrong stuff, because there's a, it's like pod, I said pod. Pod X, and it's actually Pod 139, you know, for example. So, but I'm going to try doing it this way, with just having the sort of rotating different pieces of audio over time at the very first. And we'll try that and see how that works. But if you need any kind of hosting or domain names, I did test these codes and they do work. You know, they are available. The links, you know, the actual codes are in the show notes, as well as I created at TruckerTomPodcast.com up in the upper left corner. I've got the codes are spelled out and what they do. Now, when was it? Yesterday, before I left Naugatuck, I ended up having to call GoDaddy, and this was like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Ended up having to call them. I had a question. Called the GoDaddy tech support, and once again, I got right through. I was very, very impressed with that. I was, you know, got right through, talked to this guy. He was very knowledgeable. And so I cleared up, while I had him on the phone, I cleared up a few misconceptions I had about how WordPress works. And my main concern, you know, so basically, you know, I was asking him, one of the things I was asking them was about backing up the site. I was telling them that I've got this backup plugin that actually emails me a backup of the quote-unquote core files. It emails it to me once a week automatically, and he said that's great. But I also asked him about the stuff that's on the server, that I can actually go into that and bring that down, copy that to my hard drive through an FTP program. And he said yes, do that too. Because I guess there's a MySQL database, which I really don't, I just don't understand. But I was, I had it backwards. I was thinking that database was maybe static, and that anything that got changed was on the in the folder on my server that had to do with WordPress. Well, he said it was exactly the opposite. The WordPress, the way the WordPress thing is set up, the plugins that I install and different, the different things that I change, the structure of the way WordPress appears when you open up the page, that part is the part that's static. So if I make a change to the way the configuration for WordPress, that's going to change on the part that I can see through the FTP that's in that directory on the server. That part's going to change, but once I've got that in place, that part doesn't change. And then whenever I make a new post or someone makes a comment, that actually changes the database. And so what's happening, that backup plugin that I've got is actually emailing me the changes, like to the posts, for example. All of the posts that get made, that is what, it's emailing me that, which that's critical because that's the changes that are happening. But then I also need to back up, just make like an FTP backup or replicate what's on, in that directory that I can see on the server. If I back those up, if I bring those down and back them up to my hard drive locally between the two, let's say something horrible happened to the server and it was gone and it was wiped, I would be, when I got access to it again, I would be able to upload the stuff that I have, the WordPress files that I've downloaded through FTP. I could actually upload those to the proper directory on the server, and then use these backup files that are emailed to me to recreate the entries. So between the two, I should be in pretty good shape. So, but I do need to get busy and download the stuff that's on the directories, the actual WordPress stuff that's in those directories on my server. And then that way, between those two things, that gives me a really good backup of the entire WordPress install, because otherwise what I would have to do if I didn't do the FTP backup, I would have to go in and basically recreate the entire WordPress installation with all the plugins and then recreate all of the entries by going through some sort of a restore process with these files that are automatically being emailed to me once a week. And so I'd you know, rather be safe than sorry. So I am going to do the FTP backups of the WordPress installations I've created. So anyway, I know that's all kind of complicated and it probably sounds a little geeky, but you know, that is, you know, it is important. It was important for me to be able to talk to him, you know, this guy knew, and be able to understand it, get a good understanding of it. And but that's just, it's really, you know, GoDaddy is amazing, you know, compared to a lot of, because there's tons of hosting choices. There's plenty of places on the internet where you can buy hosting space, or, you know, and there's hosting space resellers and what have you. There's tons of places like that, but to find a place where you can call, I could call them up right now and get right through to someone that could, you know, that's really knowledgeable about that stuff, and can help me with a technical problem, that's pretty amazing, and that's incredibly valuable. Because the prices you're going to pay at GoDaddy.com are really competitive with any other hosting service out there, but you're not going to get that kind of technical support. And so this Linux hosting package is excellent. I am very, very happy with it. And you know, so if you're thinking about hosting, or you know, you're looking to get some hosting, or domain names, and or domain names, or other services, GoDaddy.com is the place to do it. And as I said, those the codes are in the show notes. Just go to truckertompodcast.com. You're going to see those codes, you know, and those are going to be in all the future show notes, as well as there's a permanent little text box up there on the left, truckertompodcast.com, that lists those out. And I also posted them at truckerphoto.com as well. So they're there, and hopefully at some point I'll be able to get some easier codes, because these are a little bit more convoluted, and it's going to be harder to remember. So anyhow, they're busy loading my truck. They have been for a while, so I need to get busy and see if I can get this file rendered and uploaded and posted, podcasted. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.